Welcome to the People Impact Podcast, because your impact on people matters. We are two visionary coaches exploring ideas about improving the way people lead and work together. We bring you topics that truly have an impact on people in your organization today. And this is for you if you're interested in expanding your perspective on people and on yourself as a human being. For all of you out there who are open to new views, visions, and dreams. Featuring Lisa Dempsey.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning, Lisa. My name is Marjolein Vlug, and today what we want to do is combine and round up some ideas that you will have picked up or you may want to go back to in some earlier episodes around toxic work culture. We had some episodes about that before, and now we've had some guests that brought in additional perspectives. And let's put that in a framework, Lisa.
Yeah. Well, and I'm really excited to be having this conversation with you today, Marjolein, because we had a couple of episodes last season about toxic workplace culture. There were some really great Brené Brown podcasts that came out around this, some really good MIT Sloan research that came out about it that felt really important. And then this season, it has also turned up as a really common theme. We've had several guests who have kind of either spoken about it outright or alluded to it. You know, there have been some pieces of the puzzle that definitely fall into these categories. And
yeah,
I'm just noticing also in my work, toxic workplace culture is turning up as a topic so frequently.
How does it show up?
Well, so recently I was invited to the European Society for Cardiologists to talk to them, have a roundtable discussion with, you know, it was an invite-only event as they came to Amsterdam. I think there were something like 27,000 cardiologists that descended on Amsterdam. And they recognize it in their system. They recognize it in their workplaces. So much so that, you know, they wanted somebody to come in to, you know, handle the topic with the care and the integrity that it deserves. It's turning up in, you know, companies coming to me asking me to do, you know, climate surveys to look at the culture that exists, because words like toxic are popping up and they're not quite sure what that means. They don't know what the behaviors are that are going into it. It turns up in, you know, going to Munich for a day to do a afternoon on culture and to help a company that's growing quickly get really intentional about their culture because they don't want to fall into it. So it's, you know, it's sort of permeating all of the spaces, all of the things, and it's really interesting. And I wanted to, with you, to sort of digest a little bit more of it because it's really complicated.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it is, and that's why I'm glad we're bringing in this framework. What I'm hearing you describe is you know, culture and how to make it healthy rather than toxic, showing up in organizations. And what I'm seeing in my work is that it shows up in the effect that it has on individuals. I work a lot one-on-one with people with career questions, with people who want to make workplaces and their environments more inclusive. And it shows up in the effect that it has on them as an individual, on you know, burnout levels from, oh, I need to get up before, or you know, post burnout and looking at next steps. People finding structures and finding solutions because they're seeing the impact of it, or they're navigating, thinking, hey, what is happening here? Is this me? What am I learning about myself? Where do I set boundaries? Is it the other person? What do I need to do? So it's very much that individual perspective that that I see happening.
Yeah.
And they're both connected. I mean, it's all part of the same thing. It's just looking at it from different angles, right?
Well, and I think what you raised there is so important, and it's something that I think also showed up in Ann Betts' episode on toxic personalities. Working with toxic people at work is so often it does throw us off kilter. It causes us to question our own sanity, question our own perspective. And in fact, that is one of the hallmarks of somebody who's healthy, right? Somebody who has a healthy perspective, who really does sort of question and go, wait, is it me? Is this something I'm doing? And that's one of the hallmarks of either a toxic personality or even a toxic culture. And I think there are different levels that this operates at that I'd love to dive into with you. But on that interpersonal level, typically, if you're just dealing with a toxic person, they're not going to be asking those questions. It's just going to be all of this, you know, the negativity and the gaslighting and, you know, all of those craved traits that Ann Betts did such a good job of articulating being pointed outward. And there's very little inner reflection and inner work. So that's something
especially that latter thing, because I've also seen people that say, is it me? Just as a victim-y way of inviting, no, of course not. Let me give you a big hug.
And
you know, eliciting that response when it's not really, you know, it's not really asking, is it me? It's just saying those words to have someone else say, no.
Yeah. It's the version of, does my butt look big in these pants? And you just want to hear no. You're not actually asking the question.
especially if you want to stay in the relationship.
It's that version of is it me? Does this make my butt look big? And really, there's only one answer that you can give in that context. It's not an actual question.
Exactly. When it's an actual question, then that's one of the signs that no, you're not you're not as toxic, and there's room to maneuver.
Right.
You're not the biggest problem.
Right. Right. Indeed. Yeah. And it's interesting, isn't it, that just that really profound impact that turns up. You know, you mentioned burnout. Mm-hmm. Burnout is a huge symptom of toxicity. Typically it's the people who really are healthy, who are compassionate, who are empathetic, who are smart, who are talented, who get really burned out in these types of situations. And it's such a paradox, especially through the framework of leadership. Because of course, what we know about effective leadership is we need to bring our empathy, we need to bring our compassion to leadership. And yet there's somehow this block in many systems that gets in the way, that keeps those, you know, highly intelligent, highly empathetic, very compassionate people who are really good at relationship building, who are really good at the people aspects of work.
Great leadership traits. Yeah. And makes them less confident.
Yeah. And keeps them from rising in an organization. And I think that's then where, you know, some of the conversations that we've had with people like David Little, his episode has just come out, and he really talks about how toxicity gets codified, how it becomes a part of the structural environment, you know, where whether it be HR or other groups inside the company, sometimes it's, you know, compliance, sometimes it's HR, sometimes it's other. But creating these policies that create blame culture, where there's, you know,
putting
problem.
The grief into grievance policy. Is
exactly.
The best example. Yeah. Make a lot. And it all undercuts people's confidence, creativity, innovation, forward momentum, space to find the best solutions for what is needed in every situation. That's not helpful for anyone, let alone organizations, let alone human beings.
Right.
And just life. Yeah. This is your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, one.
Yeah, indeed. Well, shall we help decode for people what some of the different layers are, you know, sort of, and there's interplay between all of these. So it's very rarely straight cut, but I think there's, you know, there is a leadership framework that helps, and it's a systemic framework. So it's understanding the different layers of the system. Shall we put that out there so that we can kind of talk about it through the lens?
Yeah, so this is zooming out and seeing, you know, at what levels does this play out? We have the intrapersonal level, which is really you within yourself. What are you learning about yourself? How do you choose to interact with other people? But how do you develop yourself? And this is developing leadership. This is developing personal leadership. How do you show up in the world? How do you navigate? What are your values around toxic situations? What is it? What is your part in it? In all kinds of ways. Intrapersonal, you inside yourself. The next one is interpersonal. So this is, how do you interact with another person?
Yeah.
How do you show up when, like Anne Betts described, when you encounter a person who is showing such toxic behavior and has narcissistic behavioral traits and behaviors, how do you interact with that person? Then there is the systemic level, which is, you know, the systems of interaction with a group of people, your team, your organization, or even, you know, your family, your friends, the network, the group of people that you interact with rather than just one-on-one.
Yeah. And that's typically the space of culture. That's that, yeah. That's where it's invisible. It's in the air. It's in the space. Mm-hmm. There's this idea of, well, this is just kind of the way things are, but it's not written down. But it's all those quiet behaviors that are so difficult to explain. And it's no longer at the level of, oh, there's just this one person who is being difficult or who.
It's a group of people interacting. It's what we talked about in the last season about pockets of toxicity in an organization. When it's this team and not the entire organization, for example.
Yeah.
So how does this group of people interact with each other? And then there is the structural, which is the codified structures, policies. How do people interact and what are the rules? Sometimes unwritten, but what are the rules about how people interact? And that can be organization-wide, that can be national when it's about, you know, labor law, for example. And that is really the structures that are set up around this. And looking at it in this way, you know, like you said, you know, we had conversations at the intrapersonal and interpersonal level. We've had conversations about the systemic and structural level of things that generate toxic situations, toxic cultures. And you can have intervention, you can make choices from your own personal leadership or functional leadership on those levels, on those different levels.
Yeah. There are definite ways to impact all of these different levels and layers.
Mm-hmm.
Although interestingly, you know, I think oftentimes when it reaches that structural level, when it has become deeply codified, and, mm-hmm. you know, there are policies, there are procedures, there's this toxic blame culture that becomes codified. And I think, you know, sadly, there are organizations like Microsoft. You know, Microsoft, a number of years ago, they had to revamp their entire performance review and performance management system because they mm-hmm. realized, oh, wait a minute, we're setting Ooh. People up to compete with one another, to beat one another, to, you know, there's this scarcity that's created by, you know, they had forced distribution curves whereby, you know, in a team, if you had, let's say, 15 developers working underneath you, only one of those developers could get a top ranking score, because it's not possible that you can have a whole entire team of really good developers who are all functioning really well. They need to follow this normal bell curve. And so there's one person who's forced to the bottom end of that, and one that rises to the top, and then everybody gets squished into the middle. And
it reminds me of, I think a friend of mine said that, well, you know, you want to make sure every year that you look at who's performing best and who's performing worse and get rid of the worst people. Like, well, if you do that every year, then at some point you're going to end up, you know, firing the people that are great. It's just that, you know, if you have to make a list, someone needs to be at the bottom and you need to fire them.
Right.
What?
Or even worse.
People, because everyone's great. What?
Even worse, there were instances in other organizations where that were using these forced distribution curves for performance reviews, where the worst performers were kept on just so that they could always flag that person as the worst performer. So they were a placeholder, because they knew, you know, team leads knew that they needed to have somebody that fell into that bottom category.
Oh, so
you just carry this dead weight with you.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Let's bring the scapegoat so we have a scapegoat. Oh,
exactly.
And imagine that. I mean, that's a person.
Yeah.
Going to work every day, going home at the end, feeling just, ugh.
And that's, you know,
that's not okay.
And that, I think, is a really good example of really toxic behavior that doesn't come from sort of the narcissistic personality problem that Ann Betts articulated, but it comes from a system that says, right, we're going to create scarcity. We're going to create competition. We want everybody to fight to be the best. And it reminds me of our conversation as well with Yanif, you know, talking about being in the media agency. You know, do you want to be the best brand, person on the team?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sort of going, well, do we all have to try to be the best? Is that really like what we need to be here doing? Isn't there something much better around collaboration and celebrating each other's differences and being in this much healthier system? And so I think this, you know, sort of this performance review piece is a good example of how something can get codified, how something can become structural. And it isn't because that person is a bad person or a toxic personality. It's they're swimming in this structure, they're swimming in this system.
Yeah, and it's what's being made normal. I mean, I'm pretty sure that everyone who was functioning in that at Microsoft thought, well, this is what is expected of me, isn't that? And it seems to make sense. Everyone else says it makes sense. Isn't this just how we do it?
And isn't this a good thing that we should all be striving for our best every day?
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't this promote healthy behavior? Well, no, at the end of the day, it doesn't.
Step out of the loop of that story. Oh, actually, it doesn't make sense. And when you're in it, it'll make sense.
Causes people to become cannibalistic. It causes teams to splinter. If you have two really good developers on a team, they can't possibly remain on the same team because they can't possibly both be at the top.
One top performer, right?
Yeah. So eventually they're going to splinter out, and rather than having those brilliant people collaborating and doing brilliant things together, and one has a strength in one area and another one has a strength in another area, having them combine forces, no, they're going to splinter, and you're going to remove that power of the human potential inside the organization.
And that's what, you know, what brought David Little in his episode to the statement, well, you better throw the whole policy out the window.
Yeah.
Not keep using it. Just throw it out the window.
Yeah.
And then start making a new one. Because no, you can't even adjust that. It's the structure itself, the policy itself it invites toxicity in. It creates the toxicity. Creates the mess. Yeah.
So don't we go through these sort of one by one? We have just a little bit of time left. Mm-hmm. What do we think that can be done at this intrapersonal? So the intra mm-hmm. is the internal and the interpersonal yeah. level. What yeah. can people do when they find themselves in these interactions, these, you know, whether it be sort of one-on-one interactions, maybe a toxic colleague, a toxic boss, mm-hmm. a toxic person in another department.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the intrapersonal, in the terms of checking in with yourself, what we talk about a lot is check in with your body, check in with your gut.
Yeah.
If something is making your heartbeat faster in a bad way, in an anxious way, notice that and take those signals along with what your brain is saying. Check in with yourself and choose your own personal leadership. Choose your values and step from there.
And name it. I think there's something really powerful in speaking to it, speaking to this is making me feel this way.
Yeah.
I have questions. I don't, or like, I love what Bookie said, you know, I don't understand.
Yeah. Right? Question mark.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah. I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. And you will most likely, when you really are dealing with a interpersonal toxicity, you will find other people who are observing it and who also go, I thought it was just me.
So about the interpersonal, connect with other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And separate that from the intrapersonal, but check in with other people.
And know that it isn't you, and learn to not take it deeply personally. Yeah, and not to allow some of that gaslighting, to allow that toxicity to root inside of you.
Yeah. Or set those boundaries for yourself on that interpersonal level. Like mm-hmm. this person, setting a boundary.
Yeah.
That one-on-one interaction, setting these boundaries, because those are what I need right now. And the systemic, the groups, the teams.
Yeah, when it becomes a little bit of the culture of, oh, well, this is just the way that it is here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that person stole your idea in the meeting. Next time, you just have to shout louder.
Yeah. Or let it go because they are whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's the space of, you know, also really speaking up, speaking to what the impact is.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes there's when it becomes a part of the air that we breathe, you know, going back to sort of Anne's example of the secondhand smoke, when it is just sort of this thing of, yeah, okay, so the air here is kind of dirty, but it's fine.
Oh, I don't smell it anymore after a while.
Yeah, everyone's just attuned to it. And I think this happens really easily in workplaces because we have these ideas about, yeah, work is supposed to be hard and you know, it's business. It's not personal. And, oh, you know, this is how I pay my bills. So I'm willing to put up with a lot of stuff that I wouldn't otherwise. Right? When you feel that space of collaboration and human potential and being able to, you know, the sum of the parts being greater, when it feels like, you know, 1 + 1 is not even 2, 1 + 1 is 0.5, because there's so much energy lost in mm-hmm. just, you know, dealing with what is often called politics or dealing with what is often called, you know, it's just the way that it is here, honey.
Well, I want to put a stake in the ground and say if 1 + 1 is anything less than 2,
Yeah. There's a problem. There is an energy leak. And
name it.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying, right? Name it.
Name it and get curious about what is happening. You know, oftentimes in our own cultures, we can't see what's happening from the inside until we start really kind of talking about it. And that's also a space where inviting in external help, inviting in some of those eyes that and ears and hearts and guts
mm-hmm.
that are not a part of that system.
Who people that just came from outside and smell the smoke.
Yeah, and go.
Because they're not in it, are they?
Exactly. And go, oh, there's
what is this?
Yeah.
Is something burning here? Or I hope that. Can we look into it?
Yeah, let's find out what's going on here. Why does everything smell like an ashtray? Yeah. And then the structural, this place where it gets codified, where it really becomes a part of not only process, but also policy. Mm-hmm. And it is at the level where not only everybody is kind of on board with it, but now we're putting things down on paper that are actually probably unintentionally, but are actually harmful.
Yeah. Well, what pops up for me first is use your privilege. Use the privilege that you have from your position, whether you're in a management position, whether you're in the I can't remember the English word on the naming rights.
Workers' council.
Thank you. That's the thing in the Netherlands, not like that in every country. But you know, if you're in HR or you're adjacent to. When you're in a position where you can address this, keep on addressing it. Point to it, put it on the calendar, put it on the agenda. That's the first thing that pops up for me, because someone else will be either recreating policies or bringing in an external party to do that. Keep it on their minds. Keep bringing it up. What are your thoughts? Because
I think. Pointing it out and, mm-hmm. and saying, you know, have we really thought about the second, third, fourth, fifth order impact of mm-hmm. this? You know, if we're really going to run performance reviews against a forced distribution curve, mm-hmm. what's the impact of that? Not just this year, but 5 years down the road, what changes
I like
will
what
this
you say about what's the next
team?
What's the second, third, fourth, fifth level impact? Yeah. There are more levels of impact. There's
yeah,
a ripple effect.
Usually that first order impact feels like, oh yeah, so this is good. This is, you know, we not everybody can be at the top and we need to find some way. You know, managers often do have a hard time with giving bad performance reviews. And mm-hmm. so this will be helpful to them, right? Well, you know, what happens at the fourth and the fifth order impact after you've run this cycle after 5 years? What does that look like? What sort of behavior is being driven by that? And is that really the behavior that we want to be seeing?
Yeah.
I remember once also having a conversation with, here's the global head of sales, and he came, I want to put everyone in sales globally on a bonus scheme where every single year they get a bonus, mm-hmm. including PAs and admin staff, everybody. Mm-hmm. Well, what behavior are you looking to drive with this? What sort of mm-hmm. behavior are you looking to drive in sales globally by doing this? Right. And there was no answer, right? There was no clear answer. It was just sort of something that felt like a good idea, that this is going to be a great reward system. Oh, wow. This is going to...
Yeah, actually, other people have had this idea, and then other people did some research, and this is a long list of research that shows that that you think it will have. No.
Yeah, this doesn't drive.
Keep the ideas going. Go on to the next one. Thank you.
Yeah, indeed. And oftentimes I think that's the thing is doing a little bit of reverse engineering when you're thinking about, okay, so what do we want to codify in our organization? Think about what is the behavior we really want to be driving? Yeah. What are those, you know, how do we want people to be? How do we want to stimulate them to show up together? And then reverse engineer from there. Come up with the things that are going to support those desired outcomes, support that desired healthy behavior. Because I think you'll end up in a really different place.
I like how that ties back to the intrapersonal.
Yeah.
How do you want people to be? Versus how do you want to be? Yeah. How do you want to show up? Yeah. I'm glad we had this conversation and just tied so many things together. and created some overview and some structure in that. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Hopefully for our listeners, it gives a few more pieces to grab a hold of, because I think, you know, we hear toxic and it just feels really overwhelming. And it's really normal that it sends us into kind of this place of shutdown, and that's okay. But hopefully this just lays a little bit more of a landscape so you can point your finger. You can start putting your finger on the things, naming the things that you're maybe seeing in your systems, and start talking about the desired outcomes that you're really after.
Yeah.
Thank you, Marlai. Thank you. I enjoyed this.
Me too. And thanks everyone out there for listening, of course. If you appreciated this episode and you may know other people that will find value in it, please do share it. Perhaps you found us directly online. You can share it there. And you can also find the People Impact Podcast on your favorite podcast app. And subscribe there to make sure that you're the first to learn about our newest episodes. We have a whole new season coming up. We would love to hear your topic requests and guest suggestions and feedback for the new season. And we always enjoy hearing what's on your mind in the workplace. So do let us know. And until next time, bye.